One of the things that I was telling a family this week was they asked me, I want to say more than the Shema at night with my son. Is there another prayer? And I said, of course, it's called the Hashkivenu, and those who come on Friday night already know it. Lay us down to sleep and let there be nothing to disturb my or anyone else's rest. The people I love, let all of us be spared from hunger, which keeps people awake, from health problems and diseases and germs that threaten us, and from negative thoughts and from depression, from all enemies and from all satans, from all satans, from all forces that bring us down, that challenge us inside, that bring our nefesh down. And they said, that sounds like a wonderful prayer. You know, teach it to me and I'll teach it to my son. And so the boy, who's 9, was sort of saying, well, you know, tell me more about that. Why do we do that at night? And I said, well, the way I see it is our soul travels at night, and I feel like it leaves my body. I once wrote a poem about it a long time ago, and feel like when I'm asleep, I'm not exactly sure where my soul is going and where it's traveling. You know what he said to me? This is an amazing thing. He said, well, Rabbi, I often dream that my dreams take place a lot at the synagogue. And I dream often that my dreams take place at the synagogue. I couldn't believe, you know, I'm glad this even came up. So I said, I can't believe, maybe what's happening is your soul, he really loves synagogue, you know, from the mouths of babes. And I said, maybe your soul likes to come here. I said, I really think maybe it likes to be near the Torah, because I think the Torah and the Ark are a conduit to God. I want to read to you a quote about the soul a little bit. And it comes from the rabbi's commentaries on Leviticus and also on the book of Ecclesiastes, on Kohelet. And the reason I read it is it came up because in tomorrow's parasha, there's a reference to the cherubim, the kiruvim that are on either side of the Ark of the Covenant. And so I looked up the word keruv and it said, well, it's talked about in this quote in the rabbi's commentary. When a human being sleeps, the body, I really don't understand this one, so if you can understand it, please explain it. When a person sleeps, their body tells their neshama soul, what it has done during the day. Then the neshama soul reports all of that to the nefesh soul. And then the nefesh soul reports it to an angel, a messenger. And then the messenger angel reports it to a cherub, reports it to the special creature that protects the Ark. There are two of them that protects the Ark of the Covenant. And then that cherub reports it, that keruv, that lion creature with the wings, reports it to a seraph, the God's ain't army, part of the host of God, Adonai Tzvaot, the army host, or some people say it's the chorus. They have an army choir in heaven. Mm-hmm. So it's the army, but it's also the choir of God. And then the seraph brings it before God. Yeah. Okay. One of the things that I find fascinating is it starts with the body. Right? You'd think it would start with like the soul, the mind, the soul. The psyche reports it. But I'm like, wait a second, how does a body report something? You know, I mean, maybe they're talking about the brain, but I feel like it's so interesting. The body's experience is communicated to the neshama. The neshama reports that to the nefesh to an angel, the angel to the cherub to the special angel that hangs out with God, and that goes before, not to God, it goes before the throne of God. So one thing is, if you have any way of explaining that to me, you can. The idea of the, you know. So I said, that soul, think about what the boy said. My dreams often take place at synagogue, often in the sanctuary. It's almost like the body is sending the soul's reporting it to a messenger, he's following the messenger. I know we don't have cherubs up there, but they're invisibly up there. Now I said the Torah is a conduit, and they go up. I mean, so that itself is perhaps an otherworldly truth. I'm going to explore one aspect of this, does anybody want to explain it to me? Anybody want to weigh in? No, I mean, or what they think it means. Rafi.
I have a feeling that the body can talk with the soul, can pass the message to the soul. When there is air running into the body is alive.
Mm-hmm.
And it can report. when there is no air in this body, the body is dead, so it cannot be contacted anymore. So it's stuck with the soul.
And one of the things that's important about that is there's a pun. I mean, there's a double meaning to the whole prayer. One prayer is, when I'm dreaming, let my soul be well and be in peace and have a good dream and return to my body. But if, and let me wake up to life. That's the end. Let me wake up to Chaim. But it is actually really taken from the Psalms that talk about death. So actually what it's saying in a way is like, don't let me die. Let me lay down to sleep and wake up in the morning. But should I die, if my breathing stops, let my soul go to eternal life. Let it go to the life with God. So nicely done. Arnie, you got something for me?
Well, I just think that it's a comforting thing to think that you're not alone when you're sleeping. Also, the way you explain it sounded like I've got a different handoffs going on.
The soul hits the cherub, and the cherub hits the seraph, and the seraph. Very good. And it all comes down to my dreams are worth two Zuzi. So, you know what? You're banned again. Okay, so I'll give you my interpretation. My interpretation is this, or part of it. I only take a little piece. The body reporting to the neshama and the neshama to the nefesh. What is the difference between the neshama soul and the nefesh soul? Let's just do that. So the nefesh soul, which means breath, as Rafi said, the nefesh soul is something we share with everything that's alive that breathes, including plants and animals. So anything that is alive has a nefesh soul. So, because it's breathing. It's the difference between something that's alive and something that is dead. One has nefesh, one doesn't. If you read no one does, so this is half a joke. Anyone who wants to go to the website and click on Rabbi's Corner and finds a cornucopia of brilliantly insightful and short essays on various Jewish topics will find one on the idea that in my essays on Kashrut, that I do think Kashrut is about acknowledging that animals, by the way, according to tradition, they don't have neshama souls. They have nefesh souls, because they, right? What does it mean? Anything that's alive feels. It's emotional. So some of the rabbis say, the nefesh soul is your emotional soul. It's your feelings. Even an animal has feelings. I mean, some have sentience, but a tree doesn't necessarily. But, you know, you put a tree, it reaches toward the light. You know, I had a roommate once who just taught me, if you don't talk to your plants and treat them well, and like they'll die. And all my plants died, and all of his plants did well. So he knew something I didn't. That even a plant may have feelings that you don't understand. They have nefesh in them. So what's the neshama? I got it. The feeling soul. The neshama is what you and I would call that soul that's special to, that makes you you, that makes Sam different from me and me different from Lenny. It's like if you were born with a gift for singing like Sarah, that's part of her neshama, is that she was meant to sing. You know, it also may be that she has a special gift with animals. That's part of her neshama. The neshama is what gets reincarnated, right? Your nefesh is a different layer of reality. Your neshama is the one that goes back to the source in God and then comes back into the world in another person who has those same gifts. All right, so it's unique to you. So one of the things I think that's going on here with the body is there that, as I point out regarding Kashrut, that there's a strong emphasis that the way that we overemphasize the neshama. We overemphasize the ways we are unique. And we don't emphasize enough the ways we are the same. We are the same in our nefesh. We all look at the prayer. You know, we all know hunger. And we all know what it's like to be hungry. We all know what it's like to be sick or to have someone who's sick. We all know what it's like to have dreams that we wake up much more tired and shaken from than rested. This is about the nefesh, right? So the neshama, in a way, reports to the nefesh. So it's not, you'd think that the nefesh would be like, oh, today I had a bad day and it didn't feel good and these things, you know. And then the neshama would be like, I know, because this happened and that happened and I'm going to report all of that to God. It goes the other way. It's almost like the neshama is the one that talks in English. The neshama is like, you know, it didn't go well. You know, you got laryngitis and you're supposed to be singing and this didn't go well and you got this bill and you can't pay that bill and this is going on. And then it gets converted into just feelings of, ugh. And it's like the feelings an animal could have. You know, I'm broken up. Or I didn't get a phone call from my daughter or my son. You know, and I'm like, you know, like an animal has feelings of maternalism or from a friend. I feel lonely. An animal can feel lonely. That's the stuff that gets communicated up the chain. That's the stuff that goes to those. Not the, by the way, this happened and that happened and I dreamed about my sister. I dreamed about my mother. What do you think that's about? Wait, God, what's it about? God's only getting transmitted that my dreams are good or bad. That they were shalom or they were fear. They were happy or my day was bad. My dreams are bad. Like, that God's feeling the hunger that a person has. God's not feeling like, well, you know, I didn't get that parking spot. Is a cigar just a cigar or not? God doesn't, that never makes it up the chain. And I'll finish with this one thought, which is that, I meant to give this talk today because of singing. We did a little singing. I sing particularly badly, not just because but partly because I have laryngitis. And I'm saying we're going to have singing Shabbats. Many people misunderstand the difference between a performer and a singer. We're all singers because that's the nefesh. Nefesh is opening up your breath and just letting it out. You can be out of tune. It's God feels the nefesh. God feels, Nadav wanted to sing. It's the Shabbat song. Sing with your nefesh. You want to sing, sing out. You want to sing out, sing out. You want to be free, be free. Just don't convert to Islam. That's a Cat Stevens song. But still, you know, you want to sing out, sing out. That's the nefesh. A performer, that comes from a neshama. Right? Sarah has it. Right? I don't. And that's okay. And a lot of people confuse the two. And I'll give you... Someone came to me and they said, I could never sing in front of the congregation because I'm too nervous. And I said, wait a second. First of all, don't take this the wrong way. You're not a performer. I said, well, what do you mean? I said, look, if what you say is, oh, Rabbi, I could never... I could never sing in front of the congregation, which means they want me to say, please sing in front of the congregation. You know, it's sort of, I could never try out for American Idol. Please, I will drive you to the audition for American Idol. You know, I was like, so wait, I'm like, time out on this question. If what you're saying to me is, I really have a dream of being a performer and I want you to encourage it. The answer is, that is like a scientific question about whether your neshama, a metaphysical question, were you born with that? It doesn't mean singing. It's not, Sarah will tell you, I mean, Sarah's a professional opera singer. It's not about singing on pitch. And it's not about singing loudly. It's about working a crowd. It's the difference between someone, Arnie telling me a joke and a stand-up comic. They can tell the same jokes. Right? But a stand-up comic does it in a way where the crowd goes wild. That comes from that person who was born in their neshama. But if you say, I could never tell a joke, I'm not funny, then you're an idiot. Because all of us can tell a joke from their nefesh. That's laughter. Laughter is part of your nefesh, not part of your neshama. It's not in your DNA. It's in everyone thing ever alive can experience laughter. So what I tell people is I want to have musical Shabbats. And they're not about like, you know, we're going to pick out the three performers, the three performer neshamas in the congregation, and they'll sing for us. It's about the fact that we'll find those with the neshamas. We'll ask them to help the rest of us who just have the nefeshes. Let's sing. Because let's be able to do a hashkivenu. God's hearing the nefeshes. That's higher than the neshama here. It's not lower than the neshama in this quote from the rabbis. It's higher. The point of the rest is to get to the feelings. And the feelings are what's holy and what God is hearing. So let's recognize that we don't have to be performers to be singers. And let's not confuse the two. Let's read together on page 33. As we read it in English, let's remember and pray for the healing of Patty Thomas. Josh Burns, April Stokes, Mika Ilam and Kalinit Sara, Andrea Oman, Norman Schaffler, Deborah Bat Elisheva, Joe Rundio, Sur Elka Batskiyaka, Zevin Avner Vishoshana, Chaimer Ben Eliyahu Vechava, Nechama Ida Bat Zladachaya, Gary Phillips, Howard Cohen, Levi Yitzchak, Ben Chaim Mayer, Lynn Goodman, Mika